doing other things. George, I want to ask you to go find them and tell them you don't have to work today. Pastor wants you in the sanctuary. And I want them to be here because of the weightiness I feel on this word today. Go ahead, sir, if you don't mind. Just tell them the pastor needs them in here. I want them in here today because of the weightiness of the word. And I know people get busy. I know people are doing things. Those of you in the booth back there, I need you to listen to me. I know you can hear me. If you are not required to be back there, I'd love for you to come join me in the sanctuary. Put your phones down, and I need you to pay attention. There's some weightiness on this word today, and I don't want you to miss it. I don't want any of us to miss it. In fact, the title of the message that I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me today was, "When You're Close, But Still Miss It." When you're close, but still miss it. Again, I'm not doing this to try to create tension in the room. I'm doing this because of the weightiness that I feel on this today and how imperative it is. And for some of you, very life-changing it can be. Now, I'm not going to try to belabor and preach longer than I need to. Although, I haven't preached in a couple of weeks, so some things are stored up. But I'll be mindful of the time. What I want you to do is, if I could just have your undivided attention, if we could eliminate movement in the room today, if we could just eliminate it, if we could just do that for a moment today, let me share what needs to be shared, and then I promise I will preach this as fast as I can to get you out of here. But I do not want to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do in this church and in your lives. Do me a favor, reach over and touch your neighbor and say, "Don't miss it." Tell your other neighbor on the other side, whatever you do, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Angel. I'll let you guys be seated for a moment, and then I'll have you come back up. My plan is to give an altar call, Mama G, an altar call today so the altar team be ready. I am going to give an altar call at the end of this. At least I'm planning on it. Any good sermon that you start off, if you want to get the people's attention, you got to start off right. And so I'll start off this message by saying, I was scrolling through TikTok the other day. And I came across this video of these people standing on a massive cruise ship. And they were up on the balcony of the cruise ship, and they had their phones out, and they were filming, recording people that were coming down the pier or the dock to get onto the cruise ship. And these people were running at breakneck speed to get to the cruise ship. And the people that were filming were cheering them on. "Hurry up. Let's go. You're going to miss it. Don't look behind you. Keep going." Keep really cheering them on to keep running. Evidently, they were on an excursion from the cruise ship. And the cruise ship was getting ready to leave port. And you have to be back at a certain time or you'll miss your boat. You'll miss the boat. And so these people were, I guess, enjoying their excursion that they lost track of time and they were trying to hurry up and get back to the ship and they were running. And I thought it was hilarious because there was a song playing in the background saying something about you being a track star and running like a track star and people running. They were dodging people that weren't running. They were trying to jump over obstacles. They were doing everything they can because they did not want to miss. It's not a good thing if you miss your cruise ship on a cruise and you were on an excursion. And they were running at breakneck speed to try to get to that boat so that they would not miss it. And I think many of us have moments like that where we feel like we may have missed out on an opportunity. We may have missed out on something that could have been life-changing. And most of the time, we don't miss out because we didn't care. most of the time we miss out because we've got distracted. We missed out because it wasn't a priority. We missed out for whatever reasons. No doubt we've all been there. Have you ever been so distracted that you missed something that was going on in front of you? I have a meeting with team leaders here every other Monday night. One of the requirements, one of the things that I set forth, a ground rule we call them, one of the ground rules in coming to that meeting is all cell phones, all iPads, all tablets, all laptops must be put away. Now, that's not a big deal for people that are my age and a little bit older, but a lot of the people sitting around that table are 20 and 30-year-olds, so you could imagine how challenging it could be. And Brandy's at the table, and so you can imagine how challenging that might be for them, including Brandy. But the reason that I have them to do that is because I want them to be fully engaged. I want them to be locked in to what's happening. I don't want them to be distracted by a notification on the phone, a notification on the tablet. I want them to be fully engaged. And sometimes I've noticed it in times past where we would be in a meeting, conversation would be happening, and somebody missed an important detail because they were getting a text message or they were getting a notification that an email was coming through, or they realized that the cruise ship was leaving and they were about to miss it. And so they miss a critical part of the conversation. And then later down the road, we say something didn't happen, something didn't take place. Why did we miss it? What happened? Well, I didn't hear that in the conversation. My point is, we can miss out on important details if we get distracted. Some of us experience FOMO, the fear of missing out, where we find out that something happened and we didn't make it to an event. We were unable to make it to a celebration or to a party or to whatever was occurring. We missed out on it, and we regret not being there. Some people miss out on job opportunities because they were ill-prepared or they weren't ready for it. Some people miss out on great relationships because they missed out on a conversation or something that happened that drove a wedge in that relationship, and they miss out on a valuable relationship. And for us today, and for this particular moment, I don't want us to miss out on what God is doing because we were not engaged, we were not present, or we were too offended to be connected. See, what ends up happening, and I've noticed this over 22 years of pastoring, I noticed that there are times where people miss out on a moment that God is moving in. I prophesied into this church a couple of weeks ago, during an impromptu message about giving, how we were in a moment and not to miss that moment. Can I tell you something? I feel like we spoke a moment into existence in that service. I felt like it may have originated and started back on New Year's Eve and then again that coming Sunday when I said the church needs to be praying. I feel like God started then. The atmosphere, the soil, so to speak, of this church was being primed and conditioned for God to have a moment and begin to move. And ever since then, I've noticed the atmosphere of this church has changed noticeably. I noticed that things have begun to shift and things have begun to change. And it doesn't feel like it did last year in here. It feels more anointed. It feels more powerful. It feels more faith is in the room. It just feels different. There's an intensity, a weightiness. In the Hebrew, they would call it the kabod or the kabod, the weight or the heaviness of God. And I'm beginning to sense more and more of that. Every week we come in here, I sense another degree or another level of the weightiness of God. And I just felt today that maybe, just maybe, God started to shift things here and the church is now in a moment. And I would fail you as a pastor if I didn't shake my hands at you, if I didn't get a little animated with you, if I didn't get a little bit loud with you and say, whatever you do, don't miss this moment that God is moving. Don't miss out on the opportunity that God is shifting and doing something here at Riverside. I can't speak for all churches. I can't speak for all denominations. I can't speak for all the other churches in Harford County, Cecil County, and Baltimore County. But I can speak for this one. I am authorized by God to speak to this church and say, whatever you do, please don't miss what God is doing or what God is about to do. There's just sometimes I can't articulate it. I labor sometimes, George, to try to communicate it. And there's just some things that I don't know that I would do a good enough job of letting you know what's about to happen. Have you ever felt like you wanted to try to explain something good coming up, but you couldn't find the words? And all you want to say, just wait and see. Just wait and see. I don't want to spoil it for you. Just wait and see. And sometimes I can see the road signs. I can sense in the spirit. I can discern that something is happening, that the waters are being troubled. And whatever you do, do not miss out on what God is fixing to do. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, I really feel like this is where Jesus is leading us. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 1 through 13 out of the New King James Version. I'll read it. It'll be on the screens. Follow along with me. We'll rip this thing apart and preach it as the Spirit of God leads us. But it says something like this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Let the church say no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6 says, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Woo-hoo. And afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Who? Can we pray? Pray for me. I'll pray for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I come before your throne today asking for fresh oil from on high to anoint this vessel of clay to be able to declare the mysteries and the oracles of the Lord, to be able to declare the message of the Lord today. Father, I pray that you would arrest my heart and my attention. God, that I would say exactly what needs to be said today. I pray, God, that our hearts would be in tune with you. I pray that our ears would be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord today. I pray, God, that I need some people to help me bind distraction in the room. We come against distractions in the room. I come against every distraction that's in this room. I come against every thought that would try to distract every listener in here today. We come against it in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, arrest our attention. Let our hearts and let our ears and let our spirit be focused on you. Let them not hear the voice of Pastor Jason, but let them hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as you minister the word of God to them today. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask you, God, for anointing that makes preaching powerful, that transforms and changes lives forevermore. In the mighty name of Christ, we come to you and ask you of this. Amen and amen. Jesus tells this parable about 10 virgins or bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom or him. In the Jewish culture, the wedding celebration was a big event, and the bridesmaids' jobs was to be ready when the groom arrived. But in this particular parable, in this particular story, there was a delay. And we see that there that this is where the difference between the five foolish and the five wise virgins become very noticeable. The five wise, they brought extra oil, staying prepared and staying engaged. The five who were foolish, they assumed they had enough time and did not stay ready. Touch your neighbor and tell them, stay ready. I need you to help me preach today. When the bridegroom arrived, the foolish virgins were out of oil and missed the wedding feast. The door was shut and they were left outside. I want to give you just three reasons today why people sometimes will miss what God is doing. Number one, some people miss out on what God is doing because church is no longer a priority. The foolish virgins were not anti-wedding. They just were not prepared for the moment. Many people love the idea of what God is doing, but they do not prioritize being a part of it. They love hearing about the move of God. They love being in proximity to the move of God. They love hearing about it. They love being on the periphery of it. They like that, but they miss out on it because they are not prepared. They haven't prepared themselves. Sometimes we feel like, I'm going to preach this in just a moment, we feel like just because we're in the room, that's good enough or that should qualify us not to miss. But I'm going to show you in a minute, you can be in the room and still miss what God is doing. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. Look at everybody on your row and say, we're not the some. Tell them, aren't you glad you're here today? But exhorting one another. But exhorting one another. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. When church becomes optional, spiritual growth becomes accidental. And we wonder why we have a bunch of immature believers in Christ followers. Maybe it is, and I'm not suggesting all the time, but maybe it's just because they made church optional. Some say it this way, I'll come when I can, but don't realize they're missing out on encounters that could change their lives. I want you to do this for 2025. We're still at the beginning of the year, so give me a little grace. I want you to make sure that, listen, there are 52 Sundays in a year. Now, we've already burned through about six or seven of those. Somebody do the math and tell me how many more Sundays are left. I can't do math. I'm a preacher, not a mathematician. But give me the math. How many? 45 more Sundays left in this year. 45. That's not a lot. In the scope of eternity, that's not a lot. I want you to prioritize the next 45 Sundays and say, come hell or high water, I'm going to make sure that I am in church as many of those Sundays as I can be. Why? Because the pastor wants you here? Yes, that's part of it. But the major part of it is there might be a Sunday where God moves and whatever it is you need, he's giving it out on that particular Sunday. And at the end of the day, I don't want you to miss it. Because you didn't want to prioritize the next 45 Sundays. How many of you miss your cruise ship because you're caught up in the excursion and you miss what's happening? Do not miss, please hear me, do not miss what God's fixing to do over the next 45 Sundays at Riverside Church because you refuse to make it a priority. You ought to go through every Sunday on your calendar and highlight that thing, green or yellow or whatever highlighter you want to use, and say, I'm not going to let anything distract me, anything hinder me, anything keep me from being in the house of God on this Sunday. Why? Because that could be the Sunday. That could be the Sunday that your breakthrough shows up. That could be the Sunday that your miracle shows up. That could be the Sunday where prayer is answered. That could be the Sunday where your life is completely, totally transformed and changed. And if I get on my knees and beg you, do not miss it. You're in a moment. This church is in a moment right now. It's been in a moment for a few weeks now. Is there anybody that senses that? Where's all the spiritual people? You sense that. I'm telling you, I need a witness to help me in here. You're in a moment, and I just don't want anybody to miss what God is doing in this place. I'm here to tell you, there will be more testimonies of cancer being dried up in here, marriages being put back together, drug addicts and alcoholics being set free. I'm telling you right now. This is the place to be. God is on the move. I said, God is on the move. Don't miss the wedding feast. Don't miss what's getting ready to happen because you did not prioritize it. Woo. Turn around and hit them people behind you and say, make it a priority. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. I told you I was going to give you three. I moved on to number two. Number two. Some people miss out because while they are here, their hearts are elsewhere. In Matthew chapter 25, the foolish virgins were physically present, but spiritually unprepared. Likewise, Jesus tells another parable. I believe it's over there in Luke chapter number 10. He tells a parable about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And I don't know how for years I've missed it, but I understand the lost sheep. He'll leave the 99. We sing songs about that. We've exhausted and we've preached about the prodigal son, the lost son. But the one wedged in the middle there doesn't get a whole lot of attention. It's only two verses long, I believe, or three verses, 8, 9, and 10. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses a coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, I found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Go back to verse number 9, please, that very first slide. Here's what I missed for years preaching from this. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? How did I miss this? No. Go back. Stay there. Just go. Stay. Go back to verse number 8. Right there. That's it. Just leave it there. Look at that. Look at that and read that. Look at this. I missed this. I missed it for years. What woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the what? It wasn't in the yard. It wasn't down the street. It wasn't in the neighborhood. It wasn't in the store. Wasn't it the other places that she may have frequented outside of the house? Did you know that you could be in the house and still be lost? Did you know that you could be in the house and still miss what God is trying to do or wanting to do? There's a reason I had George go and get everybody and bring them in here. Because I know there are folks here. You're in the house. You haven't missed a time in the house. But you're still lost. You're still not engaged. The worship goes on and you're not moved. The preaching of the word happens and you're still unchanged and unmoved. And you're in the house, but you're still lost. I want you to feel this. I want you to feel the weight of this. I hope it donkey punches you right in the chest. because I don't want you to miss out on another Sunday where you show up at the house still lost, still unmoved, still unchanged, still the same way. You come in and you leave the same way you came in, and it's nobody's fault but yours because you refuse to engage. You refuse to let God come in and break up those hard places of your heart. You refuse to get some of you hide out. Listen, don't hide out on me anymore. God's calling. Listen, God's going to make you accountable to what's being preached this morning. I knew what I was doing when I sent George out there. I want to hold you accountable for what the Lord is preaching in this place. You've been hiding out. Touch your neighbor and say, quit hiding. Get in the presence of God. Get in the presence of God. God's wanting to do a work in your life, but you keep hiding from Him. You're Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? I can't find you, Adam. Where'd you go, Adam? And God's calling out all the Adams in the house. God's calling out all the ones that have been hiding in the garden. I knew you were a hard man. No, you know Him as a hard man, but you need to know Him as a loving father. A loving father that's looking for you in the house, sweeping every Sunday, trying to find the lost son, the lost daughter, the one who's in the house but still lost. Woo! You're about to miss your moment. Let me remind you what God says in the book of Genesis. My spirit will not always strive with man. My spirit will not always contend with man. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me you hardened your heart one too many times. Paul said, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind for the destruction of your flesh so that in the day of judgment your soul might be saved. Why? Because you keep hardening your heart. I'm in the house. I'm here. Isn't that good enough? No. Because you can be in the house, baby, and you can still be lost. And the Holy Spirit's still sweeping, looking for you. Be grateful that you're in this room today, because the Spirit of God has been sweeping, looking for you. Not to condemn you, not to judge you, not to wag His finger under your nose. It's the next part of this Luke chapter 15 where He's the prodigal, He's the father standing on the porch with His arms wide open saying, I've been waiting on you. I've been looking for you. I've been sweeping this house every Sunday looking for you. Stop hardening your heart. People miss out on what God is doing. They think just because they're here, that's good enough. And I'm telling you, it's not good enough. You need to be engaged. You need to be attentive. You need to lock in on the Spirit of God when God is moving. I love all the worshipers in this church. Do you know there's a reason I worship here in the front and not in the back? It got so crowded up in the altar the other day, I had to walk up and stand right here. Why? Because I didn't want anything to distract me from God in that moment. I don't want anything to hinder me or mess me up. I don't want to miss what God is doing. Now, maybe you're super gifted and you can do that, but I'm telling you right now, if you see me at the foot of this altar right here, it's because I don't want to miss anything God is doing. And sometimes I can get distracted just standing right there. I can miss what God's doing. Number one, make God a priority. Number two, when you're here, be here. When you're here, be here. Let me give you some signs that you're in the house, but you're still lost. You're here, but your heart is divided. Physically, you're present, but mentally, you're checked out. You're thinking about work. You're thinking about what's on your phone. You're thinking about a sports game. You're distracted by what you're going to eat. You're distracted by where you're going to go afterwards. You're distracted by 16 million other things. But you're here, but your heart is divided. Your heart is broken up, and you're wanting to be elsewhere and do elsewhere. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things you're worrying about, and all these things you're thinking about, and all these things you've been contemplating, and all these things you let your heart get divided over, it will be added. You're here. Watch this, number two. You're here, but you're not participating. Worship is happening, but you're silent. I love what Angel said here last week. I think it was last week. He was up here singing, and I don't know if you heard it or not, but I did. He was saying, far be it from me that a rock would cry out in my place. Don't let rocks cry out in my place. Don't let rocks cry out in my place. Don't let rocks cry out in my place. If anything, that is your permission to say, you know what, in a worship service, I don't have to be silent. I can open my mouth up and I can express to God how good I think He is, how great I think He is, how much I love Him. And I see people gather in these places on Sunday morning, and there's such a cloud of worship happening in here, and yet you're silent. And that's why I come up here. You'll hear the worship team going, open up your mouth and lift up a sound to the Lord. Do you understand there's something liberating about that? There's something that happens when you open your mouth up and you let your spirit begin to sing. That don't ever let rocks and trees outpraise you and outworship you. Why? Because Jesus didn't die for the rocks and the trees. He died for you. Come on, somebody. He died for you. And if you don't have anything else to thank Him over the fact that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you died for me. And that ought to be sufficient enough for you to praise Him and worship Him from today all throughout all of eternity. If He never lifts His finger for you again, you've got enough in and of itself right there to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Your praise should never be contingent on what He did for you that week. He already proved Himself to you. I wish I had somebody. Come on, where's all the praisers and all the worshipers at? Where's all the ones that are still grateful for what He did on Calvary's cross? I thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. I thank you, Lord. Come on, take the next 60 seconds and give God praise in here. The next minute and give God praise in here. Come on, 30 seconds. Let Him hear from you today. Let Him hear from your voice. Let Him hear from your heart. Let Him see you clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Amen. Another reason we're like that lost coin. Whew. You're here, but you stopped expecting. The foolish virgins assumed they had plenty of time to get their oil together. And some people assume, well, I'll get serious one day. I'll get serious one day. I'll get serious next week. One day is found in a fool's calendar. Next week is found in the fool's calendar. Not when you're here in the moment, in His presence. And I think what happens a lot of times is we show up, but we don't show up expecting God to move, expecting revival to break out, expecting the Spirit of God to encounter me, expecting. You've got to come in with expectation. You've got to come in with anticipation. Touch your neighbor and ask them, what have you been expecting? Come on, ask them. Wait for a response. Ask them this, when you come to church, what are you expecting? When you come to church, what are you expecting? I expect to get out of here by 12 o'clock. So do I. So do I. But JoJo gets up here. And Angel's over here. I had to go to Angel and JoJo both separately today and ask them, you think it'd be okay if I preach today? You think I'd be all right if you let me? You think I could get up there? At least you think it'd be all right if I preached? I walked over there to JoJo. I could see it on her face, and I went, oh, Lord have mercy. Here we go. JoJo, you think I could preach today? We'll see. We'll see. The woman had to light a lamp to find the coin. God's word and God's spirit are here to bring us back into alignment. Listen to this. The coin has value. And even though it was lost, it was still important. Listen, I don't care how lost you feel. I don't care how far away you feel. I don't care how disconnected you feel. Listen to this preacher. You are still valuable. The only reason I'm preaching this message today and not from the sermon series is because God knew you would be here today, and he wanted you to know just how valuable you are. That on Tuesday morning, he altered my preaching schedule completely because he wanted you to know how valuable you are. He wanted to get your attention and say, I've been looking for you in the house, and you are valuable. And my spirit and my word is here to bring you back into alignment. Why? Because I've got something great for you that I don't want you to miss. Let the church say, don't miss it. Come on, Angel, come up here and help me. Being in the house isn't enough. You've got to be engaged. Just because you're attending, you got to ask yourself, I'm attending, but am I participating? The presence of God is moving at this church. Whatever you do, don't miss it. Number three, and then I'll get out your way. Number three, some people miss out because they were offended during the process. I don't know why, but I'm telling you, it has become just abundantly clear to me, and I'm noticing it more and more as I pastor. And you've heard me preach on it, and I just preach on it because it's just, I deal with it on a regular basis around here. And that's people becoming easily offended. I found a t-shirt in my closet the other day. I think Betty made it for me. I think she made it for me because she makes t-shirts for me. And it said, Riverside Church, the place where we thug it out. And I said, somebody said that, you know, Riverside Church isn't for everybody. I'm fully aware of that. I'm fully aware of that. You got to have thick skin to come here. You can't be easily offended to come here. I say that, but I'm the one who gets the most easily offended. I'm pretty sure I got the... Nobody, they don't have to amen that. God Almighty. Don't, that was not the spot to amen. The one sermon they listen to, the one place they decide to shout when pastor says, I'm easily offended. That's right. You better say that. You better preach that. I'm going to start coming down there pointing out all your failures and shortcomings. But I have encountered and I have noticed that over the years, even more recently than ever, that people will miss out on what God is doing because of something that offended them, because they took an offense, they got their feelings hurt, and they miss out on what God is trying to accomplish or wanting to accomplish in their lives. Maybe the foolish virgins felt entitled to oil from the wise ones, and when they were told no, maybe they got offended and became frustrated. And a lot of people miss out on what God is doing because they get offended and they get frustrated. Proverbs 19, verse 11, out of the English Standard Version says, good sense makes one slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. Here's what I've noticed. Anytime you got a group of people, especially a large group of people like what we have attend this church, and we're all going through the process of growing, we're all going through the process of spiritually developing. Some of us are at the beginning of the process. Some of us are in the middle of the process. Some of us may be getting to the end of maturation. We're maturing. Everybody's in the process of going through the maturing process. Everybody's in the process. And I understand and I know that in times of growth, there's what we call growth pangs. Toes get stepped on. People feel like they're missing out. People feel like they're going to get left behind. Listen, hear me out. We are not going to leave you behind. You will not get left behind. As long as you keep showing up, you will not get left behind. I will tell you this. I've watched it happen for years in church. I've watched it happen for years. Feelings get hurt. There's a misunderstanding. Someone didn't fully comprehend. Somebody misinterpreted. A gap was created, and instead of filling it with trust, we filled it with suspicion. And what ends up happening is, they'll say, well, that's why I don't go to church anymore. So you punish yourself. You punish yourself thinking, I'll show them. I'll just stop going and I'll teach them a lesson. No, all you're doing is isolating yourself. All you're doing is ostracizing yourself. All you're doing is setting yourself up for an attack of the enemy. Your adversary is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And some of you got a bullseye on you, and he's on the prowl. And he's about to pounce on you. And you will miss what God is doing because you're carrying an offense. You're carrying a hurt. You're carrying, and you're missing out on what God wants to do. Don't miss what God is doing because somebody hurts your feelings. You say, well, you're just saying that because you're the pastor. Baby, let me tell you something that I know about sheep. Them jokers bite. And the ones that don't bite, they carry knives sometimes. Y'all worried about the wolf in sheep clothing. I'm worried about the sheep that carries a switchblade. We don't have any of those here at this church, though. Don't walk away because of a misunderstanding. The best thing that I can tell you to do, go to that individual. Have a conversation with them. Don't miss what God wants to do in your life. Don't miss what God's doing in this church. Don't let an offense pull you out of position. Stay engaged and fight for unity. Stay engaged and fight to stay in unity. Work at staying united. Little foxes will creep in. Little devils will creep in. They'll get you distracted, and you're looking at this, that, and the other. And here God's moving, and God's blessing people over here, blessing people over there. And you're back there rolling your eyeballs and sucking your lips going, well, how come he's not moving on my life? Check your heart, darling. Check your heart, baby. Ask yourself this. I'm closing. Ask yourself this. Where do you stand? Be real with yourself. Be real with the Spirit of God. Are you fully engaged in what God is doing? Or are you at risk of missing out on what God is doing? Are you physically present, but your heart far from him? Is church optional for you? Or is there an offense you've been carrying around that would prevent you and pull you out of position, and you miss what God is wanting to do in your life? Don't let other people or other things take the place of gathering with God. Don't assume there'll be other days where I can engage with God. Don't be in the house physically, but lost spiritually. Decide today Make up in your mind. 45 Sundays. 45 Sundays are left in this year. 45. In the scope of the rest of this year, that's not a lot of days. 45 days. 45 potential encounters with God. 45 opportunities to get a miracle. 45 opportunities to have a breakthrough. 45 opportunities to bring an unsaved family member to church and watch them get radically saved. 45 times to see a miracle take place. 45 times for you to get your healing. 45 times for you to get a breakthrough once and for all. You only have 45 times. Prioritize the next 45 Sundays. Some of you won't. You don't miss work. You don't miss the gym. You don't miss your eating at your favorite restaurant. You don't miss going golfing. We don't miss Shane. We don't miss bowling. We will prioritize that. Church, man, don't do it, baby. Don't do it. You make church optional. Spiritual growth comes to an end. Be fully engaged when you come into God's house. David said it this way, I was glad when they said unto me. That ought to be our attitude when we get up on Sunday morning. That ought to be our attitude when we get up on Sunday morning. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. That's saying I'm coming there with expectation. I'm coming there expecting something to happen. I'm coming expecting my life to be changed. I laid in bed last night and was talking to Tina. I said, what? And I was excited. I said, what do you think's going to happen at Riverside tomorrow? And we laid there and we dreamed out loud of what might happen. Who might show up? Who's going to come? What's God going to do? That's my way of saying, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Foolish, wise, which group are you in right now? Foolish, wise, you're going to make it into the feast or you're about to miss the feast. Which group are you in right now? For those who need to make church a priority again, everybody stand to your feet with me. I'm done. I want to give an opportunity for you to make a public declaration and say, you know what? I heard the word and I choose to be moved by the word today. See, it's one thing to be a hearer of the word. It's another thing to be a doer of the word. We have a lot of people that hear the word, but they refuse to do the word. You would be in the foolish category. Don't do that. Don't just hear it and be unresponsive. Don't hear it and refuse to do anything about it. I'm convinced there will come a day where you stand before God, and God might remind you of this preacher on this day that you were at church and play it like a movie clip for you. You heard that word. And you refuse to respond. You heard that word and you refuse to do anything about it. I was sweeping the church that day and you remained unmoved. Which category are you in? If you've been inconsistent or half-hearted, today is a day of recommitment for some of you. Today is a day of rededication and recommitment. Today is a day for you to allow the lamp of the word of God to find you and recommit. Today is the day. Today is a day for renewed hunger, renewed faithfulness. Today is a day for some of you to get reconnected. You've been disconnected. Maybe I offended you. Maybe I hurt your feelings. Maybe I did. Whatever caused it, whatever caused the disconnect, today is a day that God is wanting you to reconnect. Today is a day for you to recommit. Today is your day. Today is your day where your life can change. This year doesn't have to be like last year. Last year doesn't have to be like the year before that. This year could be the difference maker. Today could be the difference maker for you. Recommit, rededicate, renew, renew. I don't know who's on security, but lock those doors. Don't let anybody out. I know some people, they're starting to get a little antsy and they're trying to run out. Don't run out. This is the moment that God's brought you to. This is a moment. Listen, I'm not, as I'm preaching it, the Spirit of God's dealing with you. You don't have to stand there. If you want to respond, just make your way down here and respond. Don't wait. Just come. I'm going to keep going, but I want you to respond. The Spirit of God speaking to your heart, tugging at your heartstrings. Respond right now. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll do it later. No, come now. Come now. Come now. Recommit. Rededicate. Refresh. Renewed. Now. You need new passion. You need to wake up spiritually. You need to re-engage. Come now. Thank you. Come. Just come. Get down to this altar. Come now. Nobody's going to bop you on the head. Nobody. I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm asking you to recommit. I'm asking you to allow the Word of God to move you. Come now. Come now. Come now. Don't let past wounds pull you away. Today is the day to forgive. Today is the day to move forward. Today is the day to pray for healing. Today is the day for restoration. Today is the day to draw the proverbial line in the sand and say, I'm not going to miss out on what God wants to accomplish and what God wants to do in my life. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. If you're part of the altar team, people have walked down here, find them, gently lay your hands on them and begin to pray for them. Angel, whatever song you have on your heart, don't miss what God's fixing to do. Don't miss what God's wanting to do. Don't miss it, friend.
Moved by the sound
don't miss it, friend. Some of you need to have that passion rekindled. There was a time where you were on fire for God. There was a time where you burned red hot for God. There was a time where you were unashamed. There was a time where you didn't mind praying in public. There was a time where you could where you could lift up your hands in a public worship service and you would let tears stream down your face. And somewhere along the line, you've allowed yourself to harden your heart. You have allowed your heart to get hardened. And you're missing out. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Today's your day. Today is your day.
My eyes are
today is your day.
And it is well.
Don't miss.
With me.
Hallelujah. If you've come to the altar, just wait. People will come by and pray with you. People will come by. They'll pray with you.
Far be it from me tonight.
Rachel, there's a couple right over here. Right here. Pray for them, please.
Even when my eyes can't.
Who needs to be down here? Who's carrying an offense in their heart?
Mountain that's in
who's got offense in their heart? Got your feelings hurt. A church hurt your feelings.
We'll
listen, on behalf of every pastor and every church that's ever hurt your feelings, I apologize. I'm sorry. Our hearts are good. Our intentions are pure. We don't come to church on Sundays to see who we can tick off, to see who we can offend, to see whose feelings will get hurt. We don't do that. We don't do that.
And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. Oh, it is well with me. Grander earth has quaked before.